Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2 recap here on Reality TV Rehapbups. I am Mike Bloom, as always, joined by two lovely individuals here talking about this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2. First, starting off, a guy that spouts as many catchphrases as a trash can, trashy catchphrase can machine, Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how's it going?
Hey, Mike, how you doing? I am back from Las Vegas, where I was a winner, people. A winner, I tell you. And I'm ready to talk about the best show on television, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Did you bring home at least $10,000, the equivalent of winning a lip sync for your legacy?
No, I didn't get that big of a tip, but I like big tips though, Mike.
Absolutely. Just keep them away from the big pink hole and we'll be just fine. We are joined by somebody new once again this week. Unfortunately, Ali Lasher could not join us, but I'm super thrilled to have this guy in-house this week. You may know him from his 13 Archetypes podcast that he does with Rob every season of Big Brother and Survivor. I know him from our work from the Hamster Factor and the 100 podcast. Offline on Rob has a podcast. He works for ESPN, so he's definitely going to be covering this year's World Series of Butt Golf. Give it up for AJ Mass. AJ, welcome to the RuCap.
I'm just glad to be here with a guy who has been a solid contributor in podcast after podcast, week after week, and Mike.
Yes!
I gave you that top. You can at least acknowledge that.
I got a little stain on it. I hope you don't mind.
It's fine. They've been through a myriad of stains. AJ, we're so happy to have you on. A big fan of RuPaul's Drag Race. Has watched it since the beginning. Starting off, just like I've done with all the other guests, right at the top, give me your herstory with Drag Race. When did you get into it? What's your favorite season, favorite queen? And what have you been thinking about the season up to this point in general?
Yeah, I stumbled upon the show during its first season. I didn't really know what it was. I was just kind of flipping through the channels, and I caught it in the middle of, I think, season one, episode four, when Bebe Zahara was given this like PSA about AIDS, and like it was very moving and emotional. I didn't know what it was, but it really drew me in. And then later in that same episode, Angina like had this big confession that she had HIV, and it just like sucked me in right there. And I just came back week after week after that. The production values were pretty crappy that first season, as anyone who watched that season knows. But when they came back with season two, it was just like such a much better production. Rue is fantastic. Been a big fan of Rue from the beginning, and just really just have watched ever since. Big fan of the comedy queens. That's kind of more my thing. I come from the world of comedy and improv comedy. So, you know, Pandora Box was that season two person. I did like Shangela. Pandora Box got totally screwed in All Stars.
Totally screwed.
Me, I'm first, really. But yeah, I'm a big comedy queen kind of guy. Always rooting for the comedy queen. Although I also adore, despite what happened this season. poor Danny.
What did you think about this All-Star season so far? You brought up the first All-Star season. Is this better on comparison? And how have you been seeing this season stack up to the others in comparison?
Yeah, well, it's certainly better because they didn't, you know, she didn't thrust them into pairs. I do like the fact that they're doing something different with the, you know, with the queens voting themselves out. I mean, it has come with it its own baggage, as I'm sure we'll discuss when we recap to this episode. But I mean, I like the fact that they're doing something different and it's not the same old, same old. I think, you know, once we've seen these queens through an entire season, just bringing them back to do the same stuff is kind of dull. I mean, what I like about the show is that it's always new queens and new personalities, and they really don't know what to expect. And you need kind of that mix of the good queens and the really bad queens until the herd gets thinned. Here, we're starting with really good queens, so it's really hard if they were going to do a regular season. So I like the twist in the format. I think it just has had undesirable results.
Well, AJ, I'm sad that we had to bring you on for a rerun week. I mean, I'm looking at my notes right now. I feel like it must be my episode two notes, because it says here that Alaska and Katia won the challenge of lip synced, and Tatiana and Roxy were in the bottom, and Alaska won and Tatiana went home. So I'm sorry that, you know, we brought you on in a week that's already happened. But oh, wait, no, this was a new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. It's just the exact same thing happened, albeit in a more exciting structure. But yeah, this is, I'll admit, this is another episode for me where I loved the first 40 minutes and the last 20 or so minutes I could probably do without. I also don't feel like I said this last week. Last week, in my opinion, even though we were kind of crapping all over Fifi O'Hara last week, that was by far my favorite episode of the season. I think that was just like so epic from beginning to end. I'm pretty sure last week as well, from a ratings perspective, brought in the highest viewership to RuPaul's Drag Race in like 3 seasons or so. So it's tough to really follow that up. Brent, what did you think about this as a follow-up to last week's episode?
It was definitely a lighter episode. I mean, we got a mini challenge, which we haven't had a mini challenge since I was 32 years old or something. It's been a while. It's been a minute. But the ending was totally nonsensical. We're going to have to talk about it. I'm going to wait until we get there, but I don't get it. I think the people on Twitter don't get it. And there were a few things that I was just like, what the F? Like, what the F? Like, it started up so great with the mini challenge, which I love. We'll talk about, but I really thought it was a dip from last week. Having said that, I do think it was a little bit of a ploy on Logo's part, because remember, they didn't simulcast this with VH1. If you wanted to watch last week's episode, you had to go to Logo to watch it. If you didn't go to Logo, you weren't going to get it. So that's why their viewership was definitely up, at least in part. Although I do think last week's episode was the best of the season.
AJ, we're getting into the top of this episode. We see that we are back to 6 queens. Alyssa and Tatiana are back. What did you think about the revenge and how that played out in being hyped over the first 4 episodes of this season?
I liked the way they did it. I liked the way that they forced the eliminated queens to work with the queens that are still in the competition. So it couldn't be this thing where it was like, hey, let's all just like not help them out or harass them or something and turn it into, you know, us versus them. I mean, they had to work together. Watching that first lip sync for your life of the season, they both did deserve to come back. So I was totally cool with the results in that regard. And yeah, they had the extra spot because Adore had quit earlier. But, I think that they probably would have brought 2 back anyway and just sent 2 home at that point. You know, it really was. They were so good in the lip sync. I think they both deserved it.
Well, we see 2 queens come forward last episode. One's about to go through the revolving door. One is going to stay promptly in the back door. But to start off, Brent mentioned earlier, we have the return of a mini challenge for the first time since episode 1. But this is not, we're not having the puppets and we're not having the library. We're not doing, you know, a seminal or nominal mini challenge. This one's a little different. We are playing a little edition of Butt Golf featuring the pit crew and Andrew Christian himself. Brent, was this a welcome return to the mini challenge in your opinion?
Oh my God. Like, you guys, you don't understand how much I literally LOL'd through this whole thing. I was like, this is the best show on television. Somebody literally sat around and thought of this shit. Like, who thinks of this? Like, where you're like, not only that, but you're not even swinging the golf club, but you're swinging your big pink thing through your legs, and you gotta like get the hip action going, and you gotta get it into the big pink hole, and then they're in this like dinosaur drag with like, you know, scruffy beards on. It was like skag drag on the golf course. Like, and there were so many puns. You know, anytime you have golf and sticks and balls and holes and things like that, I mean, Rue is just going to be in heaven. And of course, as a viewer, I was in heaven. You know, she was like, you know, I'll meet you on the back 9 and then I'll show you my front 9. You know, I mean, like, it was like that kind of pun. Like, it was just, I'm gagging over it. I can't even talk. I missed it so much. And I didn't that's the thing. I didn't even realize how much I missed it until it came back. And I was like, oh, I've missed you.
Yeah, I think we needed some levity, and I think it actually came at a great moment after all the shit that happened with Fifi last episode, which was drama filled and very much grab your popcorn, but it was pretty negative at the same time. I think this was like the perfect note to bring this in on. AJ, you're a big sports guy. Looking at the way these things work, how difficult is it to actually maneuver it? Because like, it is definitely goofy to utilize, obviously, but it actually looks, from a physics perspective, pretty hard to do.
You know, I'm not going to get into the science of sports and do a special, you know, Sports Center segment on this. You know, Brett, it's amazing to me. You mentioned everything that happened. You didn't even mention the animal masks.
Right.
I mean, that's how much stuff was going on. Is that you could list this and this and this and this and this. Oh, yeah. And the pit crew was wearing animal masks. You know, it was just fun to have them having fun. That's what I watched this show for. This show is not really about, you know, the reality show strategy and the alliances. And yeah, all that stuff is there. But it's just a fun time. And this was just a nice way, after all that negativity from She Who Shall Not Be Named, who left last week. I mean, it was just fun.
Right. I totally agree. Like, I said this during the first episode for people who, like, when I was trying to get people to watch RuPaul's Drag Race, like, this is cotton candy in a television form. Like, it's just, it's so good watching it. And this mini challenge totally encapsulates what we love about RuPaul's Drag Race. I think Ru, having seen the results of this season, would be wise to get rid of some of the talking and some of the strategic planning and bring back more fun stuff, because I turned my TV on and like rewound this and watched this like three times because I had so much fun watching the golf segment. It was just great.
Yeah. And I would encourage you all to go to logotv.com and watch the extended clips. As Ru promised, there is like a 4-minute segment dedicated to, not necessarily the uncut, because they would take like 15 minutes long, but it shows a lot more of the challenge, and there's many, many more double entendres. I also felt horrible for that pit crew in the animal masks, because I don't know if you guys have worn those like horse masks or any of those animal masks beforehand, but they are extremely hard to breathe in. I would not be surprised if one of them pulled like a Zingbot in Big Brother 14 and just like passed out in the middle of the workroom.
Who are you talking to here? The former mascot of the New York Mets. You think I don't know what it's like to perform in a giant enclosed costume?
I guess I am preaching to the choir, and these do not face any sort of assassination attempts on Bill Clinton.
Crazy. I mean, and I was just in a rubber mask this past weekend, so I don't know what you're talking about. Like, it's fine.
Safe word.
Were you playing your own edition of Butt Golf, Brent?
Right.
Oh boy, par four. AJ, Brenton mentioned before the golf drag that the Queens got in. Any highlights amongst the six that we quickly saw? The Dinosaur Country Club, as Ru put it.
You know what? I wasn't even watching their faces. I must say, there was so much of that hip action going on and stuff below the waist and really getting that iron into swing that I didn't even notice.
Right? I loved the detox with her side-to-side action. I thought it was very funny. And Alyssa Edwards, where Ru was like, Alyssa may not have the best time, but she's definitely winning this competition. Like, it was like so rich. I just loved it. It was
and
so
then
great.
And then online, when Alyssa ends up running out of time and Ru declares her a lovely fifth runner-up, or fifth alternate, and they... I love it because, like, again, I don't want to talk too much about She Who Must Not Be Named, but when she was throwing shade at Ru last week saying, like, she doesn't care about these contestants, to have Ru make that reference and play with these contestants totally goes against that notion. I know Alaska definitely had her own Alaska look by, you know, drawing on the mustache and acting like a caveman. I did like Katya mimicking Michelle Pfeiffer from Grease 2 in that, like, grease monkey getup. Overall, like you guys said, it was just super fun, nonsensical, fluff. Alaska wins. I don't even know if she has any sort of advantage in this upcoming challenge. That might be like the first episode and it goes unaired, but it just was a great way to sop up like only 3 minutes of airtime. I was personally really happy with it.
Me too.
All right, so let's get into the maxi challenge here. Fish Tank, which is great synergy for me as someone who previously covered Shark Tank here on reality TV for Hap Ups. Nice to see that brought in. But it's a familiar concept to RuPaul's Drag Race, the idea of a marketing challenge, whether it's a commercial for a calendar or for a perfume or what have you. It always seems like at least once every season, these girls are personally branding themselves and filming their own commercial. These are personally my favorite types of commercials, because I feel like these are the most that are applicable to the outside world, where I feel like a lot of drag these days and a lot of general entertainment these days are about you putting yourself out there, creating your own brand, creating your own content. And so it becomes extremely valuable to be able to do that, even if it's for, you know, semi-nonsensical products. AJ, you've been with Drag Race since the beginning. You've checked out all these types of challenges. What do you think about them overall in the grand scheme of things?
Well, what I think this is really a challenge of, and it's kind of subtle, but this is really a challenge about confidence in yourself, because we know what happens every time. Ru comes into the workroom and shits all over their ideas. And the ones who say, no, you know what, Ru, this is what I'm doing, and is able to banter with Ru, they're the ones who do well. The ones who start second-guessing themselves and start you know, editing and going, oh, I better change at the last minute, they always do poorly. And so what I really like about this is that it really is a check on which queen really believes in themselves. And that's what this is all about. It's not about the product. You know, they're not actually selling these products. This isn't The Apprentice. The winner is not the one who sells the most ones of these. It doesn't matter. And I think Katya had the best attitude when, you know, we all know Katya has this self-confidence problem, but at least at the end of the day, she said, you know what, I'm not changing, I'm going with it. And that's the right attitude, because guess what? Mr. CNBC was not judging this thing, so who cares what he thinks?
Right.
Yeah,
that was so weird, because Marcus Lemonis, I think is how you say his name, like, I don't remember him being a fan of Drag Race, and I don't remember Ru being a friend with him, so that was so amazing that he came in, and I've watched The Prophet before, and he was kind of nicer to the queens than he was on The Prophet. Usually he's totally mean to the people on The Prophet, so at least there was that. I did think it was interesting how Katya got the criticism from him that, you know, this is terrible, you need to chuck this whole idea. And it seemed to me two parts. Like, one, I think she was still thinking, no, I really like my idea. But number two, I don't think she really had another idea, so I think that's why she had to go with the first one.
Yeah, I don't exactly know. Granted, what she was selling the first time was as Marcus kind of picks her at kind of more of a sentiment than an actual product. But yeah, she was not quick to abandon ship there. And actually, I'd say up until maybe even the judges' critiques, even through the commercial and the runway, I was really fearful for Katya. I thought this was going to be her swan song, truly, because we saw in the Herstory Challenge in episode 3 that she was getting this edit of like, oh, she's going to screw everything up, and she kind of did on both counts, and she almost got sent home as a result. Speaking briefly about Marcus Lemonis, he was a lemon as it is, because I was not a big fan of him. I'd say like one of my least favorite types of people to have as a guest on RuPaul's Drag Race are those that take things way too seriously. The most egregious example for me was when Dan Savage was on the election episode or the debate episode of season 4, and he was like, all right, you're all debating, what are your issues? You need to take things seriously here. And Chad Michaels, who like played a character and didn't take things seriously whatsoever, did not get admonished for it at all. So his advice didn't make any sense. And Marcus's might make sense from a marketing perspective. You know, I don't think Katya would be able to sell that much of whatever essence she's selling to the, you know, the late night crowd. But if you're actually going for marketability, like you said, he's not going to be at the final judges panel. It doesn't really matter. Like you said, AJ, it's about having a confidence and especially selling that commercial. Now, I think, I forget which recap I read pointed this out. I know that there's a YouTube channel that I believe Katya, Alaska, Alyssa, and Detox have all made videos for. AJ, do you think that people like Roxy and Tatiana, who were not used to making videos and creating their own content, do you think they were at an inherent disadvantage this challenge?
I mean, yes, obviously, if you're not skilled and practiced in doing this sort of thing, you're going to be at a disadvantage. But also, at the same time, I mean, let's face it, Brent, you put this very succinctly last week's recap. The idea here is to make Ru laugh. If you make a funny enough video, it doesn't matter what product you're selling, doesn't matter anything else. If Ru's laughing, you're moving on. And just from that standpoint alone, Roxy and Tatiana are going to be at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I do think both of them definitely had problems this episode. Although we're going to get to it, one of them I liked more than the judges did, and so I didn't really understand some of the judging in this episode. But I agree, if you can make Ru laugh, you're usually going to be safe. And I think all of the queens that managed to do that were able to stay safe this episode.
Brent, are you going to try to get a bottle of Alyssa's energy drink considering what it did to Alaska?
Well, look, this is the thing. This is what we talked about at the beginning of the episode, or rather, AJ talked about. You know, when you bring new queens in, you get to know them, you get to know all their quirks, and it's so fun to, it's like an onion where you're peeling it away and finding out, well, who are these people, and how do they get into drag, and what are their lives like? We know all of these people. I could have told you before the episode started. Okay, so Roxy is going to sell a product. What's the product going to be? I'm guessing it's going to be probably about something about her wigs or something, revealing the wigs or something. And Alyssa's going to do something with dance or go-go juice because that's her thing. And you could have just predicted all of these things. These are what these queens do. We know what these queens do, and that's what they're always going to go to. I thought it was a little bit like, I mean, yes, I want them to have confidence in themselves, so they're pulling from their own herstory in order to make Rue laugh. On the other hand, I did think they were kind of mailing it in, most of them, because they didn't really think of anything new. It was just the same stuff over again that's made us laugh before. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And I think we've even talked about that before. I mean, I think I sort of circled around that point when I was talking about, for example, when Alaska was bringing out Little Pound Cake a couple weeks ago, that like it's fun to revisit those types of moments. But at the same time, I personally like to explore new content and not think too much. I don't want to dip too much into the member berries of it all and, you know, pontificate too much on the past. AJ, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing these queens almost doing their greatest hits.
Yes, exactly.
And so, you know, we're calling them out for the encore. It's like, yeah, pound cake, do pound cake. You know, we know what they're going to give us. I think that's kind of why, and we'll get to this at the end, but I think this is why there's this Tatiana outrage. It's like, because anything that Tatiana has given us, I mean, I watched her first season, but a lot of people didn't. And it's still new. It's still fresh. The fact that she did get kicked off and come back now is still, she's still the freshest of the All-Stars now. So it really is, her stuff is fresh. We haven't seen it again and again and again. And I think I'm getting tired of a few of the queen's acts as we get into this home stretch here.
Yeah, me too. I agree.
We get to the filming of the commercials. Brent, we have Carson and Michelle in the director's chairs. Do you think Todrick got kicked out after the Sheequels presentation?
I think it's a fair assumption. I mean, Todrick, again, not giving it to me in this episode on the judging panel. Oof. Girl, like, loosen up. Is it really that hard? I mean, I could go onto RuPaul's Drag Race right now and throw some shade at these queens. I mean, just have a little fun. You can throw shade at somebody and not be mean to them. I was just having a discussion with somebody, a contestant who I criticized on one of my other reality shows that I talk about, and they got really mad at me. And I had to, like, privately talk to them and say, look, do you not understand that I'm throwing shade at you? I'm making a joke. It's, you're in on the joke. It's supposed to be fun. Don't take it so effing seriously. And Todrick just seems incapable of doing that. He's serious all the time. 100.
AJ, what are your thoughts about Todrick as a guest judge so far? Is he knocking your kinky boots?
Who?
Ooh, the Mary Sartain treatment from AJ Mass.
Right? Yeah. I can definitely tell that this is not Allie.
No, you know, he's useless. He really is useless. I don't get it. Bring back Santino, for goodness sakes, if you're going to bring someone back who's, you know, maybe not going to be someone I'm going to click with, but at least he had opinions. You know, I watched Todrick on when he was on the Gay for Play show that Rue did, and he wasn't funny on that either. And there he had free reign to say whatever the heck he wanted. And he stole focus there and was painful to watch. Here, he's not even trying to steal focus. He's just like, oh, yeah, no. At least he disagreed with the panel today. This is the first time I heard him disagree with anybody. I think he was wrong, but at least he offered a contrary opinion. So I guess that's progress.
I'll give him a little bit of credit. I did chuckle at him saying, put that lace in your walk to Rue. I think that was at least a little original. But I think the fact that he is, I think in a month or so, going to be starring in a Broadway musical makes me think that maybe he's better when he's on script rather than when he has to talk off the cuff. Going into this brief rehearsal period before the runway, Brent, any sort of highlights as to the struggles that each of these queens go through while filming?
I mean, I thought it was interesting how Alaska was like, well, I have 14 more things to go. And they were like, girl, you need to prioritize choices. OK, that's my new catchphrase for the season again, because it's not a catchphrase that I've heard before. Like, Tati is the first person to ever say that. And now I find myself repeating it and loving her because it's fresh and new, whereas everything else I'm hearing is like old and tired. So, yeah, I wasn't really surprised with the choices that these queens made. Let's see. I thought that Katya's went a little worse than what it turned out, but man, they can do some magic in the editing room. And I also thought that Roxy didn't really think through her whole wig reveal thing. Like, obviously she had to tape some segments where the wig came off. And then I think after that, she taped the segments where she did the wig reveal upon her on another wig. And so because of that, the second wig was not pinned on because she had previously been doing the, you know, oh my God, I lost my hair bit. And I think she should have probably taped those out of order so that she did the one first and got that good shot of the nice wig. Because if you look at it during the commercial, like, you can mm-hmm. still see her hairline. Yep. Like, I mean, they cut away really fast, but you can still clearly see it. It is not cute.
Yeah. If that was the best of the shots that they got, then that is horrible, especially for someone who made a trademark off of that. I was also confused about Alaska saying, I have 14 more to go, because it was just the tape, right? Did she mean like 14 more shots, or did she have 14 other types of tape that she was going to talk about aside from the fierce, the stunning, and yellow. Maybe she had to pare it down from 14 to 3 in terms of types of tape.
Yeah, maybe she had visions of like going fierce and stunning, yellow, red, beautiful. Like, I don't know, maybe that's what she was going for, but that commercial would have been like a minute long. So no, girl, no. Yeah, this was good with three, and I think it worked okay, although I didn't love it as much as everybody else did.
So we get back to the workroom. Everyone starts getting ready for the runway, which the category is pants, which is great. Nice and generic there.
It's gonna Thorky be a- Thor realness.
Oh God,
right?
Next week's category, violins, bringing out on the runway. Yeah, it's I like it. I think it's fun enough to at least let them diversify a bit. We'll talk in a little bit about how I think they ran the gamut in terms of stylization there. But with our mirror chat this week, we have a couple of really interesting points. First, Alaska, she declared in the beginning of the season, you know, Alaska Talks, the band is not getting back together. But her and Detox and Roxy have a little bit of a bonding moment this week where they sort of compliment each other and all go in for a big hug. AJ, at the end of this episode, Alaska is ultimately going to save Roxy. Do you think this was something from the editors giving reason as to why she made that choice? Or do you think this is building towards a larger Alaska Talks narrative in general? Or is it both?
Yeah, I think knowing, you know, we have so few queens left now, so that there's only six, and they've set up this story from the beginning. This has been an ongoing narrative that whether or not it was real or not, Alaska Talks has come up, and it's come up again and again and again. So just to have the shot that they could use, whether she sends her home, whether she doesn't send her home, whoever's in the bottom, odds are one of them's going to be in the bottom. So it's just a way to set up the story so that they have it and they were able to use it. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that ends up on the cutting room floor that doesn't fit that week's particular narrative. So I don't think there's anything shady going on here. There's nothing nefarious. They're not rigging this, quote unquote, in any way. You know, it just is a shot that they needed to get because they've been talking about this. And, you know, we all know that it's coming to a head. Roxy's performances the last few weeks, odds are she was going to be in the bottom, especially given the nature of this challenge.
Mm-hmm. Brent, what did you think about the Alaska Talks moment? Am I looking too far into it in the grand scheme of things?
I was going to wait to talk about this till the end because I feel like that I'm really confused about a few things. I don't understand, and I think you heard the hesitation in AJ's voice because I'm also with him on this. I don't understand what the show is trying to show us. Like, are they foreshadowing that there's an alliance and that we need to be worried about it as viewers? Okay, like they did that on Survivor. They showed you, here's the Tagi 4. You need to be worried about these people. Like, is there something there or not? Because it's not clear to me what the hell's going on. I'm and also they did it in such a way where they kind of made Alaska look really bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, if she's your winner, and I'm assuming she's going to be the winner because let's face it, she's won 3 lip syncs, she won the mini challenge, she's won everything in sight at this point. And it just seems like so is she maybe not the winner and you're trying to set up someone else as the winner by trying to make her look bad? Because it didn't, nothing made sense this episode. So let's wait to talk about the editing when we get to the end, and then we'll put
a bobby pin in it, and we'll save the Alaska Talks talk till the end. The other thing I will say about this Mirror Talk segment is that again, I absolutely, Alaska, we talked about this, I think, in the Snatch Game podcast about how you can prepare all the one-liners you want, but Alaska has that sort of improvisational wit when Katya is giving this speech about how, you know, I just get fearful of letting the quality of my shit deteriorate, and those ride-or-die friends are very accountable for, you know, not letting me deteriorate, and Alaska just deadpans. I don't know how you could deteriorate any further. It was just killer, and then on top of that, her saying Katya laughs like a drunk seagull, it was fantastic. I think we could hate on Alaska all we want for the decision at the end, but I think it's moments like that that really make me fall in love with her personally.
Yeah, I guess, but I still don't know what the show's getting at, and I want to find out. Fortunately, there's only a few more episodes to go, so we're going to get the answer really quick.
Yeah, that's a surprise as well. They advertised at the end of this episode, only 2 weeks left after this episode. Only eight episodes. I think the first All-Stars maybe ran for 7, so that it's not exactly unheard of, but it's still, you know, I feel like the show has grown to such a big megalith that I feel like they'd want to stretch it out, especially after bringing two queens back. But maybe we can.
Well, we always criticize Big Brother for going, you know, 100 days when really it could be a 70-day competition. So I'm not going to criticize RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, if we know who the top queens are at this point, okay? If Ru wants to go to a Final Five next week and eliminate the bottom two queens and call it a day and give us a final three, I'm all for it. Let's do it.
And I wonder, we can probably talk about this at the end about, you know, I think there were four at the end of last All-Stars as well. Could that be a possibility? We can pontificate all we want. But
yeah, the last All-Stars was because of the pairs thing. They knocked out four in 2 weeks and you know, then it went to an individual game, but then there was I'm not sending anybody home. And that was just because she needed to extend it an extra week. They had the episode commitment. Adora screwed it up by a week, but it doesn't matter. It's a nice, perfect size. Maybe it'll even go on 1 week too long because of our we're getting tired of them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. All right, so let's get to the runway and we'll do our usual MO of pairing our thoughts on both the runway looks and the commercials along with the judges' critiques. Let's start with Roxy here. AJ, were you wigging out over Roxy's look and her instructional DVD that she was shilling out?
Wilona from Good Times. I don't get Roxy. I don't get her aesthetic at all. And when it comes to the video, it was okay. I think she would have been safe if this was like week one and there were 13 queens there. I mean, she's risen to the level where she is, and she's not a winner. She's now at the point where she's the worst of the queens left. And I think that that's not a controversial statement. And, you know, yeah, she had some decent bits the first time, you know, the wig comes off, it's funny. The second time, not as much, you know. So I think the criticism on her was actually pretty fair, and this isn't her thing.
Mm-hmm. Brent, you talked before about how even in the last takes that we see in the commercial, we're metaphorically and literally seeing the cracks start to show beneath Roxy's usually very well-maintained exterior. Was this a true sign of that this week with her look in her commercial?
Well, I thought her look was pretty great, although Roxy always serves it to me on the runway. I mean, the beat is always right. I know Coco threw some shade at her in the first episode saying it was the same makeup. I thought she actually did change up her makeup a little bit this episode, so I really enjoyed it. As far as the commercial goes, I'm going to be in the minority here, and I know everybody on Twitter wanted me to hate on Roxy, but I kind of liked the commercial. I'm really stunned to say that. I mean, do I think it's the best one? No, but I certainly don't think it's the worst. I think she probably is the worst queen left overall. But having said that, I found myself laughing throughout the entire commercial. And I mean, just the way she said it, like, you know, do you remember the last time you were making out with your boy and you lost your weave? Girl, like the way she said it just made me tickle. And I don't know why. It was just something that clicked inside of me. And I was like, oh, my God, that's really funny. And then I saw the episode and I saw the outrage. And then I went back and watched it again. And I'm thinking like, Brent, maybe you're just seeing things like there. Maybe it wasn't really that funny. But I watched it again and I was LOLing. So I'm like, I don't know. Like there was just something about Roxy's commercial that I really enjoyed this week. Although it was probably like the one of the weaker ones of the six of them because they were all so
good. I'm going to sort of echo what we talked about last week with Roxy and say that, again, for these not even performance challenges, but creativity-based challenges, the bar is set almost at the floor for her, and she very easily stepped over it this week. I thought, like, I was not as harsh on her commercial as other people were. I agree with that, Brent. I thought the stuff with her wig at the beginning was a lot of fun. I thought her reactions were great. As, you know, a comedian, I did take a little bit of harsh on her a little bit. You know, Michelle brings it up that she only does the wig thing. She says, you know, you did the wig thing twice and it wasn't as funny the second time around. Rule of threes, guys, in comedy. Yep. If you do the wig thing, you gotta do it a third time and then it'll come back around to be funny.
I guess, but I thought that was really, like, I mean, scraping the bottom of the barrel as far as criticism goes, like, because, I mean, I only saw it twice, Michelle, for God's sake, and it was a different setting, it was a different thing. Like, one time she was making out with the boy in her living room, and the second time she was at the club doing the beatdown, you know, like, stop, like, it was, you don't need to make up, like, maybe it wasn't as polished as the other queens, but you don't have to make up things and pull them out of thin air in order to put criticism on tape so that it makes sense to the audience why she's going to be in the bottom two.
And I think her look was pretty good. I was not as astounded with it as I was with other Roxy looks. It definitely, especially the pants, they did their job. They fit her body smoothly, and I think she doesn't usually do the vintage retro type of thing, so I think that was something fun, a little bit out of her whorehouse or wheelhouse, as Carson would say. But it was fine. It wasn't anything, like, I feel like the pants theme in general was something that the judges were really looking for you to be not necessarily creative, but to sort of almost tell a story. And I feel like one of the reasons why Alaska and Katya are going to end up in the top two is because they actually do kind of tell a story with their outfits. I know that that's probably weird to say, considering that they haven't, you know, it's not like Katya pulling away revealing the Pentecost where she was literally telling a story. But I feel like I get a sense of character out of those two when they have their outfits with the pants, rather than Roxy, who was just sort of like, you know, an extra from the movie version of hair, personally speaking.
Yeah, I agree. It was definitely, it was just a good look. That's all
right. So let's move into Katya's crisis control. AJ, what did you think about her look? Her Ellen Barkin, or I'm going to read the full thing out because it's a very apt description. A 1980s lesbian literary agent, disinterested, pissed off Ellen Barkin fantasy. And did that enjoyment or lack of enjoyment parlay into your commercial comments?
You know, I liked the look. It was she was rocking that Sue Sylvester chic there, and it worked. It worked for me because it was Katya. I don't think it would have worked on another queen, but it fits her, and it's so different from the look that she gives you when she is full Katya-ing in her, you know, her whole Russian. You know, the whole, oh, look, a turkey. Like, that was funny in rehearsal, and I like Katya. I think she's funny. I didn't love the commercial, but it was, given the buildup for this to be a complete disaster, this was amazing. I mean, it was very funny. Like I said, it wasn't the best commercial of the night, but given you said they set a low bar for Roxy, they really set a low bar for Katya because they kept hinting that this was going to be tragic, and this was good.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I don't know if I'm in the minority for both of you, but I thought this was, like, clear and above the best commercial of the week. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I thought it was funny. The editing was great. The different things that she thought of to put in that, you know, weren't just her staring at the camera the entire time. I thought it was well done. And the look was, like, as RuPaul said, it was so wrong, it's right. Because when she came out, I was like, oh my God, that looks terrible. And then she starts walking and doing the pose, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm with you now. Like, I get it. I get it. It was like, there was another layer there, you know? And so, like, to me, she was the clear winner of the week. I thought she had the best commercial, and I thought she had the best runway. I really did. I'm just going to have to put it out there.
I loved her mall walker realness. It really, like you said, she really sold it. And I agree, when she walked out at first, I was like, oh no, this is another repeat of the Hearst challenge where she went skeet shooting and she totally missed the wig there on the shot, but she really nailed it with the way she sold it. I really loved her commercial as well. It's tough to say whether it was my favorite, because I will talk about Alaska's, but I think Alaska had so much production quality and so much like cinematography that went into it that you had to respect it from an artistic level. But Katya's was definitely the funniest, in my opinion. I mean, I just loved the shot of her being catatonic, using the crisis control, and it just showing like in a Wayne's World type of situation, like, oh, now she's on the beach. Oh, now she's at the Great Wall of China, but it's still the exact same chair. I think she was totally selling it. I love the multiple looks as well. I don't feel like nearly any of the other queens used multiple looks the way that Katya did, which I think was great in order to show a change of setting. The turkey was totally Katya. I think Katya said it where like, this is my style. If they don't get it, then I'm screwed. And if you watch any of her like Total Recall or any of her other videos on her YouTube channel, you know that she is a fantastic editor. And so I think that really saved her butt in the end. Let's move on to Alyssa Edwards, DDG, Drop Dead Gorgeous. Brent, is this another diamond in Alyssa Edwards' dynasty?
Yes, this was Alexis Colby Carrington, Rowan Carrington. I forget. She had like six last names. I can't remember, but I love the runway. It was great. It was so Alyssa. Like, it was hair to Jesus. Okay. It was beaver fur. What Carson said. I was dying at that. And it was just like rich white woman. Like, it was so great. Like, this is exactly what Alyssa does. Alyssa, if you don't remember, is from Texas. Okay. So she hangs around in Texas. Drag queens are tough bitches, okay? I have seen them. I have met them. You do not want to mess with them, okay? Alyssa is, she fits right in with them because she has that Southern glamour godlessness that she just, like, it just comes out of her, like, you know that, and it sounds like I'm on drugs right now, but I'm trying to describe Alyssa Edwards. It's just, she makes me smile. I'll put it like that.
AJ, Todrick says, you know, it's Cruella DeVille going all the way black. Was Alyssa this week for you? Did she make you bark from her commercial and her look?
The thing with Alyssa is that this is Alyssa doing Alyssa. I'm not surprised by anything she gives me. I expect no less. You know what you're getting when Alyssa comes out on the runway. You know what you're going to get from this video. Was it the best video? Absolutely not. Was it well crafted and scripted? Absolutely not. But when she's running around like a maniac, it's funny because it's Alyssa being Alyssa. And, you know, we talked about this last week, you guys, when you said, you know, she doesn't really know why she's funny. She just is. That's Alyssa. So, I mean, Alyssa for me is the Miss Congeniality of the season. She's the one who's going to be a huge fan favorite. It, you know, obviously she was beforehand, but like coming out of the season, like it's Alyssa. She's wonderful. She's not the best. She's not innovative. But she knows who she is. And you know, Alyssa is
exactly.
Alyssa. It's comforting,
exactly.
But that to me at this point in this competition is middle of the pack. Like I said, I enjoyed it. But I didn't go, oh my God, wow, I can't believe what Alyssa did, because Alyssa did Alyssa.
Yeah, it's like an old warm blanket that you just want to cuddle up with. That's why people like Alyssa, because you know what you're getting with her. And like when I saw her running around the chair to like in heels, trying to get to the phone on the go-go juice or the Drop Dead Gorgeous juice or whatever the hell it is, like I was peeing myself, and I'm sure everybody listening right now is with me on this. Like, that was so funny. Having said that, she's not the best look. She's probably one of the best queens there as far as like being funny and having a career goes, okay? Because she just has the it factor, which a lot of these queens don't have. Having said that, she's not one of the best queens in the competition because she's not great at fulfilling the dictates of the challenge that it calls for. So, I mean, you know, is she going to have a better career than most of these queens? Yes. But is she going to be the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race? Girl, bye.
It's kind of ironic because this was essentially a task where you had to like be on brand. And I think there was no one here who was more on brand than Alyssa, but she still didn't fulfill the challenge, which was to create this product and sell the product. It's amazing that she is on brand and still can't win a brand challenge.
Yeah, it's, I mean, all I mean, yeah, the video was interesting. I mean, Graham Norton points out the confusion in her being on the White House lawn. And, you know, if she's not searching for Easter eggs, God knows what she's looking for. But
oh, my God. Well, first of all, two things. Number one, I went to tell him to shut the hell up. Like, who cares what she's in front of? She can be in front of the White House if she wants to. Like, who are you to judge, Graham Norton, with your gray beard and gray hair, looking like you've aged about 20 years since I last saw you on the Graham Norton show on Logo, which aired about 20 years ago. For three episodes, and yes, I watched it. Boy, he looks bad. Girl, bye.
AJ, well, let's actually take a brief tangent and talk about Graham Norton as a guest judge this episode.
Right? I can't believe we
AJ,
missed
what
it.
What did you think about him? I mean, were you a Norton head beforehand?
No, I've seen a few clips of when the guest on his talk show was someone that I cared about, but...
Right.
Like, he's not really anyone who's, he's not like certainly a tastemaker or anything like that. I don't know what he's doing there. And did I care what he thought? No, not really. I mean, it's always about what does Rue think? What does Michelle think? Because I'm probably going to disagree with it. And give me when Ross Matthews is there, that's someone I want to listen to. You know, sometimes you have a guest judge who's interesting. I don't think he fit the aesthetic of the show.
Right. I still don't know why they got rid of Ross, because I think Ross is 10 times better than Todrick. I mean, maybe they were going for a little bit of diversity on the panel. Maybe Ross had other engagements that he couldn't do a full season. Although on the, this was a very short season. It was only probably taping wise, it was maybe 2 weeks. And, you know, there have been other times in the past where Carson and Ross have flip-flopped. So, girl, well, I'm there for it. He doesn't have to be there for every episode. So, like, why? I get rid of him. I don't understand that, because the thing about Ross is Ross knows his history. Ross knows his queens. He knows drag. He lives and breathes it. So, and he's a fan of the show. So why get rid of him in favor of Todrick, who we've already discussed, and somebody like Graham Norton, who again, like, who are you and how did you get in here? That's what I wanted to ask him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably a little warmer on Graham Norton than you guys are. I like him. I remember when I was a kid, I watched, like, I think it was like the Graham Norton Effect, which was this really weird talk show that he did before his current talk show, where he would, like, it was a game show, but they would do things where, like, they put the three contestants in bathroom stalls, and in order to buzz in for an answer, they'd have to, like, pee a little bit. It was super weird, but I guess that's that's where I share a background with Katya, that I'm sort of weirdly into that type of stuff. And he shows his history a little bit. I mean, Alyssa says, oh, well, the reason why I brought up Alyssa Seeker is because I did this. She's like, oh, yeah, I know. I saw that. I feel like we're very rare to see a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race who has not seen at least a little bit of it. That being said, I mean, yeah, you can't really ding Alyssa for that type of stuff, because it's still Alyssa being Alyssa, and she can be, in front of Mount Rushmore doing this, and it still would not make that much sense. But I still enjoyed it. I thought her look was gorgeous. I feel like it was total Alyssa aesthetic, and she worked those pants. So I feel like if her commercials earned any sort of dings, the runway more than made up for it, personally speaking.
Yeah, I agree with that. I loved it. I mean, the commercial made me laugh, and the runway was it was drag with a capital D.
So let's go into detoxes. Talking trash, trash receptacle. AJ, for you, was this one man's trash or another man's treasure?
Oh, this was one man's treasure. I love, this is my favorite video of the night. I'm sorry. It just was. I the fact that Detox, of all people, is doing this trash can, and it's so schlocky, but it's supposed to be schlocky because she's making a trashy infomercial, and it just is so low budget that it just worked. It just clicked on all cylinders. I could have just watched her do that stupid trash can quote over and over again, just coming up with more. I just watched 15 minutes of that and I would have been in heaven. I just thought that was hilarious. The look was a little Guardian Angels from the New York City subways, Lisa Sliwa kind of thing. I didn't quite love the look, but for Detox, it wasn't bad. I usually am disappointed with Detox look in general, with the exception of the one robotic look she put on. All in all, I think Detox deserved to be safe and did enough to be safe. Like, I really don't have a problem with the bottom two as they turned out.
Mm-hmm.
I may be the only one here, but I thought Detox did a great job this week.
So, Brent, we've obviously been tracking our thoughts, our Detox update, if you will, on her possibly becoming a dark horse to win this competition. Do you think she stayed on course this week towards a possible win?
I do think she did. I didn't love the commercial as much, but only because I thought that she didn't take it as seriously as maybe somebody like Katya did. Like, you know, she openly said, you know, I've been working on my trash can, which, by the way, girl, looks like shit. Okay, it's funny, but it looks like shit. So, like, the fact that you've been working on it forever and it still looks like shit and you haven't come up with anything, that was a ding for me. On the other hand, she hadn't been working on anything and she still came up with some really funny stuff. So there was that. Like I said, all of these queens, and I forgot about Detox, all of these queens are going to go back to their greatest hits. So of course, Detox is going to go back to her greatest hits, like, you know, a trash can. What do you know? The trash can says, wait for it. I've had it officially. You know, like, I mean, this is just so Detox. And so I did love her commercial, and I didn't understand what the judges were talking about as far as like, well, we don't like it that, you know, we can see your hand behind the trash can. Right. I'm like, that's part of the gag, you idiot.
Yeah, that, maybe there's like a tongue-in-cheek aspect that the judges weren't really liking. I really did not understand why Totrick was stuck on this like ventriloquist aspect. Maybe he just has, I don't know, a personal grudge towards ventriloquists as it is, but
I think he has a personal grudge towards talking trash cans, apparently, because he wanted the trash can to talk on its own. Girl, trash cans don't do that.
You have 12 hours. You better build a sentient trash can that can communicate artificial intelligence. I wonder if Detox might have accidentally previewed the newest generation of Pokemon. It looks like nowadays that could totally be something that pops up on your game. Yeah, I thought it was like,
right. By the way, as far as her runway, though, I wanted to say really quickly, and I don't know if the listeners, you guys can tweet me and tell me if I'm wrong, but she said coming out on the runway that this was a Terry Mugler look, and I was like, I always thought it was Terry Mugler. Like, am I the only one that? Am I wrong? I thought it's Terry Mugler, right? The look is inspired by Terry Mugler. You don't pronounce it Terry Mugler.
Terry Mugler sounds like someone you meet in like a truck stop bathroom.
But that's the name. Isn't it Terry Mugler? I thought, like, from my days of Project Runway, I thought I've heard Terry Mugler before. So I'm going to, you guys need to tweet me and tell me whether or not I'm like smoking crack or something, because I've never heard anybody in the world say Terry Mugler. Like, that sounds like, I don't know, Bronson Pinchot saying something from Perfect Strangers, where he was just like, you know, making something up in French. It just doesn't make any sense.
AJ, what was your favorite of Detox's two new catchphrases? Wash your effing hands or I can't feel my face.
I can't feel my face. I think I might have heard that on the radio before. So
yeah, maybe Detox was secretly working with The Weeknd.
Maybe. Everybody's working for The Weeknd. But I think the wash your hands was my favorite.
I can't wait for that to be printed above every elementary school bathroom. Just a talking trash can saying wash your effing hands.
And in the Big Brother house,
yes,
as well.
I think that's very much. I think we need talking trash cans to replace Zingbok as the official mascot of Big Brother to represent maybe the quality of house guests that are brought into that show nowadays. All right, so let's unfurl some tape here, shall we, on Alaska's presentation. The Alaska Thunder Fun fashion tape. Definitely, I would say, the most artistic of the commercials. AJ, on our podcast, we talk a lot about the artsy cinematography of some of these films that you show me. Does Alaska's commercial hold up amongst some David Lynch films?
Look, it was really gorgeous. I don't know how much the queens themselves had to do with the editing, but something tells me Alaska certainly at least directed the editing in some capacity there. It looked fantastic. My only issue with Alaska is that I think Alaska is so good that Alaska could win every single challenge and going away. And I think she kind of mails it in a lot. And I think a lot of the content of this particular commercial was mailed in. I didn't love it. I didn't think it was hilarious. It was Alaska on 3 when Alaska can be on 10 and just blow everyone out of the water. And I think she's coasting. And I don't know if that's strategic on her part, but I mean, she's winning anyway. So why put in the effort? You know, I don't know. Like, you know, it was funny the just for like to have that and yellow. I mean, her delivery when she's on it nails it. I just think the ad was not as good as it could have been, and it was still amazing. It makes me angry when someone with that much talent doesn't use it every single time. Even the look on the runway, the bicentennial Dee Snider that she put together, it was just like, it seemed so lazy to me. It was okay. It was good, but it just seemed like that she's not putting any effort in. And part of it is because she doesn't have to.
Brent,
well, I guess I'm going to sort of agree with AJ on this one. First of all, the runway look, the pants were awesome. The top,
girl.
What top? Stop.
Borrowed.
What top? How did she not get clocked for this? I don't understand. They weren't judging this outfit honestly. They really weren't. And I'm with Graham Norton. Like, you know, the pants were something else, but the hair was bowling. Like, I mean, it wasn't. I don't think it was fashion forward. I don't think there was a joke there. I didn't really understand. Like, what era are you supposed to be from? Like, maybe the 70s, I guess, but it looked a little too modern for the 70s. Anyway, so I'm going to discard that for a second. I'm going to move on to the commercial. And I'm not hating on Alaska. You guys think I'm hating on Alaska. I'm not. I love Alaska. But you guys cannot tell me that you laughed your ass off when you watched this commercial. At best, it was a chuckle. Okay, I chuckled through the whole thing. It was like, oh, that's funny. Like, you know, there was no part where I laughed like the other queens. Okay, was it artistically more pleasing from an aesthetic point of view than the other queens? I guess you could argue that, but is that what drag queens are supposed to do? I would take issue with that. I didn't really see much use of the tape other than the model, like, taking the tape and going around her, I guess. And I didn't understand that there was missing some jokes for me. I don't know. Like, Graham said that she was trying to do a spin on an old 90s perfume commercial where they take themselves entirely too seriously. But I've seen all this from Alaska before, and I'm trying not to be overly critical of her because, you know, I've seen other things from the other queens before, and I'm not giving them shade for it. But I'm so tired of Alaska going out there and being funny with that same monotone voice, like, huh, Mike, AJ, queens. Like, that's how she talks. And RuPaul, like, loves it. But that's what she did throughout the entire comedy challenge last week. That's how she talked. So now again, throughout this thing, and by the way, you cannot tell me that was drag, okay? You take a look at that commercial. That was boy. There was so much boy there, I couldn't see any drag, okay? And this has been a problem with Alaska throughout her entire career of drag. Now, you can say whatever you want about gender differences, and you can be a boy, you can be a girl. It's all, you know, we're all naked and the rest is drag. Fine. But I like to see a little bit of femininity in my drag queens if you're not trying to make a joke. And there was so much boy in Alaska's drag in that commercial that I didn't really care for it. And I'm surprised she didn't get clocked for it. I thought at best she was safe. I do agree with AJ that the bottom two were probably the bottom two. But I think there's a case to be made that Alaska was really mailing it in here, and I didn't care for it. And I'm pissed that she won, but we'll get
Brent,
to it.
I don't know what you're talking about. This voice works perfectly for any sort of situation.
It's just so monotonous. I can't get over it. And she continually does it. And she's a great queen. I love her. I love her show. She does a show with her brother, Corey, who's a straight boy, called Brolaska. It's very funny. I watch it every week. I'm not an Alaska hater. It's just, okay, so she's won two challenges. She won the mini challenge. She won a mini challenge before when they did it. And then she won the reading challenge. And now she's won this challenge. Like, just hand her the fucking check already,
yeah.
Okay?
We'll get to the lip sync victory, but yeah, yes. maybe because I'm a Katya fan, I'm a little, to quote the recent Survivor boot, a little salty about the fact that really she had to give the win to Alaska again. We couldn't just give one pity win to someone like Katya. I'm definitely a little higher on the commercial. I think that, yes, it was not as laugh out loud, but I think there were still jokes in there. One thing that I really loved was, you know, Alaska saying, you know, why would you want it, blah, 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 blah. And because it costs a lot of money, and you have the shot of like Alaska fanning herself with money, with her whispering over it, "I'm so rich." And then there's a text in the background that pops up that says, "If you have to ask, you can't afford it." And that's like three jokes packed in the course of one shot. And I have to at least admire the aesthetic that it was going for, which was, granted, it's sort of an easy target to hit, if I'm going back to the skeet shooting analogy of, yes, those Calvin Klein ads from the 1990s are super easy to parody, but she was the only one to really do it, and so I have to commend her for that. But I'm definitely in agreement with the look. She looks like she's about to star in a regional production of Godspell out in the middle of the woods, and it just was not a great look. I think Roxy did a much better job of representing the retro look. It was simple, but simple in this case almost came across as a little lazy, I want to say. Yes. And we've talked before, and you just talked about it, AJ, we've talked about it before, about the idea of Alaska possibly resting on her laurels. And it's very interesting, this episode, in the mirror talk, she says, she's like, "I think that I've been putting myself tenfold into it. I've really just going in with a laser-like focus." And I'm like, those lasers are, their settings have been turned down, I think, since season 5. You can just sort of go in through a weak laser and cut through this competition. And, you know, it sucks that if she really is sort of setting back and doing not exactly going the extra mile with things, that she's getting rewarded for it, it only feeds that behavior even more.
Yeah, I'm with AJ on this, though. Why go above and beyond when she's literally mailing it in at this point and being rewarded for it? I mean, you know, if it ain't broke, yep, don't exactly. Fix it. So that's what
she's
doing.
Mailing it in with a big old American flag stamp. Good for any time. All right, so let's finish off our runway and commercial talk here with Tatiana. Brent, spill the tea on Tati. You were impressed with her before. You said she fell on the bottom this week. Are you slowly starting to wane on her after her job this week?
Well, I mean, look, I love me some Tati, and, you know, if the queens are being, you know, we've heard this in the past. This is my problem with this week, because I thought she had the best runway along with Katya. I thought both the runways were equally good. Because I thought, you know, the T-Boz dance and the look, everything was so right. Like, that was so amazing. It was so much better than the other queens. And maybe the queens couldn't see that. But if they've said in the past that, well, you know, maybe you dropped the ball on the main challenge, but you killed it on the runway. And so I'm like, well, Tati did kill it on the runway. And I think Roxy clearly did not. So there, like, why are you eliminating her? Anyway, we'll get to that. So, look, as far as her commercial goes, I do think she sort of dropped the ball. It was a little flat. This is what, like, Alaska's commercial. I was chuckling throughout the whole thing. I wasn't laughing. I was trying to, like, find the funny parts and, you know, and work with her. Like, and you know, when you're hoping for the best as you're watching someone's work, it probably isn't that good. I think the funniest thing that through that whole commercial was the pit crew guy, Miles, sitting there on the little chair with the little teacup in his underwear, like, looking like he was seriously trying to spill some tea. That was the funniest part to me, and that had nothing to do with Tati. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it was probably appropriate that she landed in the bottom two, but I don't think she was the worst of this week.
With TLC analogies, AJ, was Tatiana closer to a scrub or a survivor?
Yeah, she. I don't want no scrubs. Scrub is a queen who can't get no love from me. But that look on the runway, I agree, was the best look. Amazing, and certainly should have been enough to save her. And we will get to that. But that commercial girl, she spent so much time talking over those teacups and, you know, sake, like, it's not funny. You know, the only thing that made me laugh really was when she was walking across the street and you know, she dropped the FC. But other than that, if bleeping out what you're saying is the only thing that's going to make me laugh, I wanted her to be so much better because she is so refreshing, and the runway look was so good. But I mean, that's really all I can say.
Yeah, I'm with you. Exactly. That's the thing. Like, that's the thing about Tati is I wanted it to be so much better because I wanted to get to know her more. It's so fresh. Like, I didn't really watch season 2 all that much. Like, I went back after I started watching Drag Race. I went back and sort of binged it really fast. But, you know, I'm just going to be real. I didn't pay all that much attention to it because there weren't that many memorable queens from it aside from Pandora Box and the winner of that season, whose name I forget. Thank you. Yeah,
no,
I didn't like
her
either. Anyway. So, and Raven. Obviously, I love Raven too, and Juju. So, look, it's so fun to discover Tati and her weaknesses and her strengths. Obviously, she's a fun queen. I think she's like, she has a really great attitude about being there. And I think she took her second elimination really well, but let's break it down, Mike.
I'll sort of cover my own ass here and say that I just realized that Survivor was not a TLC song; it was a Destiny's Child song. So my apologies to all you early 2000s R&B fans out there. Yeah, I think that Tatiana almost fell into a hole here where she sort of didn't differentiate her persona in the commercial from her persona last week, which is Tatiana does a great job of being very chipper. I mean, that's how she killed the first ever Snatch game, is that she did this Britney Spears that was sort of bubbly and really cheerful. And when you're bringing it into a product that's all about throwing shade and being bitchy and nasty at people, it doesn't really sync up. I agree that like the only time that she really did that really made me laugh was the Tito when she's on the street calling someone the hard C, the Paul, if you will, dropping a hard Paul there. I think that, you know, that was funny, but the other times when it's her sitting around with the pit crew, just sort of like, I mean, Michelle says you need to be bitchier, and she definitely needed to be even in the final cut. And this is where you talked before about Roxy, where her wig situations were in the club and they were making Whoopi. They're in different situations. If you notice, Tatiana, they cut away to the exact same two places. So like, how about this time or this time in the exact same seats talking to the exact same person, but your positions are switched. There just wasn't much creativity in the commercial. And I mean, if we're going from a marketing perspective as well, the judges bring up the fact that she did not highlight the product as much as the others, which, you know, she highlighted more the barbs that she could throw rather than actually using the product, which I guess makes sense. So I could totally see her end up in the bottom two, even though that look was a lot of fun, personally speaking.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like I said, the queens have not been consistent. They say they're being consistent, but they're not, because if you're evaluating the main challenge and the runway independently of each other and equally of each other, does that even make sense? Anyway, if they're equal, then she should have been safe. I don't understand how she wasn't safe here. But Rue decides to make other decisions, so let's talk about it.
Yeah, so let's, we get through the decision-making. Alaska and Katya win again. They are the top two. Detox and Alyssa are the safe. There are middle two. The bottom two are Roxy and Tatiana. Tell me if you've heard that before. The judges decide to skeet you while we go into deliberation here. Katya even points out this is the same top and bottom as the original Snatch game from this season, where Alaska sent Tatiana home. Tatiana is adamant that history will not repeat itself here. We see two different approaches here from the queens. Tatiana is very much has, to quote Alyssa a few episodes ago, she has the fire in her eyes. She goes to both queens and sort of gives reasons about why she didn't feel like she had the worst performance and that, you know, she is ready. She stumbled here, but she's ready to hit the ground running. Roxy, admittedly, in her confessional, says this is her fourth time in the bottom. She sort of has lost a lot of drive. And so she sort of goes forward to Katya and says, you know, no tea, whatever happens. AJ, would you say Roxy was giving up here? Do you think she thought there was a chance she would stay? Or do you think she was using this as some sort of tactic to appeal weak?
It's hard to say. It really is, because I don't know. You know, they haven't shown us enough of the behind the scenes this season. You know, we don't have the lounge to go back to where we watch an entire half hour show of them talking untucked and seeing what they're talking about behind the scenes. We're really only seeing snippets of this. You know, if there is a Alaska Talks threesome, then I could see her trying to play this defeated person for Katya. I don't think there is a Alaska Talks. I'm taking Alaska's confessionals and everything at her word that, you know, she doesn't really care much about it. And it's kind of just there as a cover for her for what she's ultimately going to do. But I don't think Roxy's strategic there. I think Roxy really is defeated. I just think that plays into her staying. I think she backs into the winning strategy.
Mm-hmm. Brent, what did you think about this deliberation segment? I mean, obviously the big clamor from everyone this week is that Roxy should have gone home. Do you think this edit for the latter portion of the episode is a big reason why people think that?
Yeah, I do think so. I remember looking at Andy Heron on Twitter, and he was like, who should go home tonight? A, Team Roxy Andrews, or B, Team Roxy Andrews? Like, that's what he was saying. So, like, I think he spoke for us. We all wanted Roxy to go home here, mainly because it does feel like she's defeated. Tati seemed really, really hungry to be there. So this is the part where, okay, we're going to talk about the confusion. I don't understand this. They didn't do a good job of explaining this, and I'm going to clock them for it. So what is going on here? Is Alaska threatened by Tati? Is there no Alaska talks, or is there? Because you showed us the foreshadowing of them all coming together. And then every time she's had an opportunity to kick off Roxy or Detox, she saved them. So tell me what's going on. I don't understand. Like, is there really something going on that we as viewers should be worried about? And if that's not true, then why are you throwing Alaska, your likely winner, under the bus? Because it didn't make her look good. Let's be honest. Everybody's pissed, okay? We're pissed at Roxy because she shouldn't be there anymore. And I'm pissed at Alaska because it seems like she's being underhanded and she's not fucking owning it. Like, I want her to own it. If you're being underhanded and you think you're threatened by Tati because she has a lot of charisma and you want to keep the weaker person and she's your friend, then own it. But on the runway, it didn't seem like she was owning it. She was trying to make a joke. When you're eliminating somebody, it's not the best time to make a joke, bitch. Yeah. Like, that's what I wanted to scream at her.
And that's the problem with having this format exist with returning contestants who know firsthand the venom that can get spit at you if you do something wrong in their eyes on this type of reality show. You could say with other reality TV villains, like Jerry Manthe doesn't really give a crap about how people view her on Survivor, because at the end of the day, her career is not Survivor player. The problem here is that your career is directly connected with this show. So, I mean, Alaska's going to outline it when she deliberates on who to eliminate. She says, I could, you know, if I eliminate Roxy, I eliminate someone who's been at the bottom and might have done the worst this week. If I eliminate Tatiana, people will accuse me of keeping my friend. If I eliminate Roxy, I'll be called kind of a bitch. And yes, the kind of it,
because she gave me this shirt. I'll be called a bitch because she lent me this shirt. Stop it. What's the real reason? So again, the editing, it sucks here. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what they're like. Are they trying to get us to hate Alaska? Is she not the winner? Is like, this is the other thing this episode told me. Besides Detox, I think Katya or Alyssa could be your winner. And I mean, do I think Alyssa's going to win? No, I think it's like more likely Katya would win. But now I'm thinking, like, well, maybe they don't want us to like Alaska. Maybe that's what this all is all about, because Rue understands television. Rue has done 9 and 10 seasons of Drag Race with All Stars combined. Like, she knows that the audience doesn't like to be told ahead of time, here's your winner. And now Alaska has won too many challenges. She's won 3 main challenges. She's won $30,000 along with a bunch of prizes. And you're going to tell me she's not the winner? So either she's not the winner and they're setting us up for a little bait and switch, or Rue has totally lost the plot and they've just decided to say, F it. We don't care if you know who the winner is going to be. We're just going to show you exactly how it happened. And if she wins 5 challenges on the way to her victory, then so be it.
Yeah, I wonder if the reason why they're showing this is to, you know, the hero's journey, they always have to face some sort of struggle, right? And Alaska up to this point has really not faced any sort of struggle.
None.
What if this is her struggle? It's weird to say, and you're sort of putting a square peg into a round hole here, or hitting a golf ball into a round hole. But
stop. Yeah. I know what you're going to say, but no, this is not her struggle. I don't know what they're doing here, because the whole point of her, like, she's, look, if you're trying to show her struggling, it doesn't seem like she's really struggling. She was making a joke on the runway at Tati's expense. And then she said, well, I love you, like, which seemed really effing fake. It really did. Like, I mean, come on. Like, she's doing that because she doesn't want the fans to be mad at her. And I think maybe she doesn't want Tati to be mad at her. If I was Tati, I would tell her to shove off. That's what I would do. But
yeah. I'm not. Here's the thing. It's difficult because until I see, I don't want to put the tinfoil hat on until I see who Katya would have eliminated. And if Katya would have eliminated Roxy, then, you know, that opens up the whole tinfoil hat. You know, do they know who they pick? And then is that why they do this? And you know, then you could say maybe they're steering the show in a certain direction. You know, there wasn't just foreshadowing that at some point this season the Relaska Talks thing was come to a head. It was five shadowing. It was six shadowing. I mean, we all knew that this was the first opportunity, you know, she passed on it. Second opportunity, she passed on it. Now she's going to have to finally cut her friend. And this is the moment she's going to do it. And it's all set up for that. And the rug is pulled up out at the last minute and she doesn't go that way. I can't blame Alaska for this because Alaska wants to win. And getting rid of the better competitor makes sense at this point, especially because now there's only five people left. Okay, the only person she really has to worry about is Katya at this point. I think she could sweet talk Alyssa into not kicking her out. I don't know if it would work or not, but I think from her point of view, because they worked so well together last week, I think she could believe that I can talk Alyssa into saying, you know, I helped you, I put you front and center, we have a good relationship, please vote out the other person, whoever it is. And I think that could work. So she really only has to worry about if Katya's the winner next week and she's in the bottom two. Otherwise, she sails into the finals, at which point I don't know who's picking the winner of this. Do we know who's picking the winner of this season?
No,
right.
We
if
don't
it's
know.
Rue, it's hers. If it's the fan vote, who the heck knows? But, you know, she's in the finals one more week with this move and this decision. I cannot blame her.
I can blame her a little bit only because it's not clear to me on what she's doing. Like, I wish she would have just said behind the scenes in the confessional, you know, if I eliminate Tati, then that helps my chances of staying here next week. And she's a really strong competitor, and I'm threatened by her. That's what I wanted her to say.
I think she did say it, and I think the show did not put it in there because the show, I think, is trying to throw some shade on her. I think the show is trying to paint her in this light because I think the show wants people to be mad at her because this whole season with the queens voting people out is only there because of the anger at Rue for voting people out. And I think they want to say, look, we let them vote it out. You didn't like that either. So Rue's going to do it. I think for the future of the show, it makes sense for them to do that. I also think if you watch you guys have talked about how all these confessionals are done after the fact, all in pretty much one session because they're wearing the same outfits and everything. You watch Alaska's confessionals and she's putting on that effect with the lip curl and she's I don't want to be talking about this, but I'm going to be talking to you. And at this point, she doesn't talk like that. You watch her in the workroom. She doesn't put the lip curl on and that voice on when she's just talking, you know, as herself. That's not there. She's putting on this gritting through her teeth. Yeah, I'm doing this. She got her prize money. She got her 10,000 here, 10,000 there, 10,000 there. She got paid for this. I don't think she wins. I think next week Katya wins and votes her the heck out. I think that's where this is heading. I think that's where the foreshadowing truly is because it's the only chance for Alaska to go out.
You are calling your shot right now, AJ.
Yes, I am. That's where the
intense.
Edit. I'm not Stephen Fishback with the winner's edit here, but that's where the look. They made Alaska look more two-faced than Vivacious and Ornacia in this episode.
Oh yes,
and there is no reason to do that if she's your winner.
Yeah, going back to what you said about like who's going to decide, I mean, they might change things up for the All-Stars, but I still feel like Rue is going to pick it. But let's remember what happened or what people accused of things happening in like season five, for example, where I think someone like Alaska was the front runner until the season aired and Rue saw the feedback about how everyone loved Jinx Monsoon. And that might have pushed Rue towards picking Jinx. This could be sort of Alaska might be screwed by social media again, where if enough people are pissed off about Alaska keeping Roxy in, then, you know, if it comes down to like Alaska and Katya, for example, I can imagine that people are going to swarm much more around Katya than they would Alaska at this point. Here's another thing I want to add to my tinfoil headdress here. On Survivor and Big Brother, there's obviously the idea of bringing a goat to the end, or in the challenge, they call it a layup, a significantly weaker competitor in order to make your end game easier. Brent, what do you think about the idea that Alaska is possibly, maybe through the Alaska Tosh relationship, is trying to get Roxy further to the end because she knows she can beat her in a final round?
Well, I think that would be great. I mean, that's what we wanted the queens to do when we were first talking about this this new way of eliminating queens at the beginning of the season. And I was all for it. And then the queens promptly shat all over it. Like, it was, well, we're going to eliminate people based on merit. Okay, so I felt like we were in the first season of Survivor all over again. So,
or Australian
Survivor.
It was
like... Right. Oh, I haven't watched that show. Are they doing that too?
No spoilers, there? But the last episode that was all about was literally the entire tribal council was one man yelling at another man, this guy does not deserve to be here.
Oh, okay. Well, then keep him. That's what you should do. Anyway, so yeah, if Alaska is eliminating Tatiana and keeping a weaker competitor in order to help herself, I would like her to own that. And, you know, AJ says, well, maybe they're not showing it. Well, maybe. But on the other hand, Alaska has been on Twitter and she has not said anything mm-hmm. like that. She is not, you know, people, she's getting some hate on Twitter. Roxy also getting some hate on Twitter. Roxy's pointing out that, look, it wasn't my decision. I'm not a quitter. I'm not going to quit. What did you guys want from me? I basically told her she could eliminate me and she didn't. So you fill in the blanks. And then on the other hand, Alaska's being totally quiet. So I don't know what's going on here. I think it would be great if that's what Alaska was doing, but I would just like a little bit more ownership of it, and we're not getting it. So I don't, again, I feel like if that's what's going on, then the plot has yes. changed, because that's not what they've been doing. So if that would be an illuminating experience, if that's what was going on, but I'm not seeing that through the television.
The problem
is that
Alaska can't tell the other queens that that's what she's doing, because if she's going to go out and say, I got rid of Tati because she's a threat, well, guess what? Ain't no bigger threat than Alaska. That just puts the bullseye square on her. If she just says, hey, right. I kept Roxy because, you know, Alaska talks. Well, that's all well and good. You know, that's not put the target on me. That's, you know, next time Roxy's in the bottom, vote her out. Go ahead, you know.
This is what she should have said. This would have made me happy, and I wish she would come out and say this. I wish she would say, look, Tatiana missed two episodes. She was eliminated in the second episode. She didn't even have to do two challenges. She basically got a free pass to come back because somebody had to come back. I think she really needed to prove herself coming back. She didn't do that. That's why I'm eliminating her. Roxy has never been eliminated before, and thus the tiebreaker goes to her. Mm. That's what I would have liked to have seen. I would have accepted that, but that was nowhere to be found.
Looking ahead, you know, AJ, you spoke of the five shadowing, and I feel like that's a very appropriate term, because now we have Katya and four people from season five. And it's essentially Alaska Talks and Alyssa Edwards, who they're all, even though Alaska had previously eliminated Alyssa, they're all reasonably friendly with each other. Now, I don't want to look too far in the next time on, but it seemed like from the editing, Katya is very nervous about everyone possibly ganging up on her. AJ, do you think there's a chance that that could actually happen next week? What do you think the chances are that we have an all season five finals going into the last episode?
Yeah, I think it, you know, like I said, it's Katya's, this is her last chance, like, because she needs to win this week's challenge and eliminate Alaska if she's in the bottom. If not, then, you know, she's got to get rid of Detox at that point, really, because I don't think she has a chance to win otherwise, precisely because Detox isn't going to eliminate Roxy or Alaska. Roxy's not going to eliminate Detox or Alaska. You know, it really becomes a point there where it's forming these alliances. She has to team up with Alyssa to get rid of Alaska this week. I mean, that's the only way that either of them could win at this point. Because even though Alyssa could be part of this quartet of, hey, season five, you know, Alaska talks, it's an easy win for Alaska. So why would she take Alyssa with her?
Maybe you're right. Maybe Katya does win, but maybe she doesn't eliminate Alaska like she should, and maybe that's why RuPaul is pissed off. Like, I feel like RuPaul's pissed off. I don't know. Like, and this is just me talking out of school. I don't know if I'm right. I'm just like reading the tea leaves here, and I don't know what the show is trying to tell us. Is Alaska the villain? Is she the hero? Are we supposed to be rooting for her or not? Because I feel like things are always very black and white with RuPaul's mm-hmm. Drag Race. And now I don't really know where to put my rooting interest. I don't know what I should be feeling as far as who are the villains and who are the heroes. Because right now, I kind of feel like Alaska is a little bit of a villain. Yeah. And I don't think the show does the show want me to think that, because it kind of feels like it does.
I think that villainy is really there to get Rue to be the one to eliminate people again. I just think it makes sense that Rue's taking such heat for all these years about these decisions, who stays, who goes. And yeah, she gets to pick who's in the bottom two. So of course she still has a say in it. But by putting it on the queen, she gets to say, all right, you guys decide. And if Katya pulls out that little, lipstick and says, yeah, I would have eliminated you, Roxy, then you got to say that's why Alaska won the lip sync. That's why, because they knew that Tatiana would go and be more drama going forward. And I think that's where it's Rue sending the person home and shifting the blame onto Alaska.
Well, let's.
Well, I will say really quick.
We should probably talk about the lip sync as well, just because.
Oh,
I mean,
sure,
I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I was not happy with the results. Maybe it was because, again, Alaska won yet again, and I wanted Katya to win. But in a challenge that was about, Joan Jett's Cherry Bomb, a sort of like punk or at least more rock-esque than the other songs that they've done, Katya, I think, made a nice change into all black and was stomping around and really getting grounded. Alaska was doing her thing in her crazy, goofy American flag pants, and she was able to sort of pull a flag out of her wig and win it. I was not too happy with the results personally. Brian, what did you think about it?
I don't think anybody was happy with the results. It was really like, this bitch again? Like, really? Like, I don't know. I mean, I really wanted Katya to get throw her a damn bone, Rue. Come on. I don't know what Rue's trying to tell us. And if you hear me saying this throughout this entire episode, it's because I am confused about this episode. I feel like I knew where everything was going up until like the last 20 minutes. And when we got to the end and I saw the lip sync, and I thought for sure that Katya was going to win it. And then when Alaska won it, and then when Alaska pulled out the lipstick, I felt like it was Big Brother all over again, where it's Davon's vote, it's 4-4, and Paul's going to win. And no, it's the face crack of the century. For some ungodly reason, Davon votes for Nicole to win Big Brother, which you never saw coming. So again, this exactly is what I'm talking about. Like, I thought for sure Roxy was going to go
home. Snake Alaska.
I really did. It's totally, it was, she was Snake Alaska. Like, what the F? She didn't explain herself well either. Yeah, so let's talk about that little joke she made.
Yeah, what did you think about her rationale on the runway when eliminating Tatiana?
Well, first I want to say I thought the lip sync could have gone either way, but considering that Alaska had won the last time, it probably should have gone to Katya. As soon as she pulled out the flag, I knew she was going to win, because it's just like, okay. Although I turned to my wife and I said, she only wins if she pulls out a second flag, goddammit. But because that would have impressed me. I don't know. I think that the speech wasn't anything we hadn't heard before. It was pretty much her rationale in the back room. It was the same thing.
Right.
That speech, she could have delivered that exact same speech and then pulled out Roxy. And so it wasn't the speech. It was just like, what are you doing? It doesn't make any sense. Like I said, it makes no sense why she would do that, unless the first scene we see when they go back into that workroom following the elimination, if she makes a pitch there, that's the only thing that can save this.
I guess if behind the scenes she says, look, I wanted to eliminate Tatiana because I was more threatened by her, and I feel like she would eliminate me if she ever won, then I would accept that. But I don't know if we're ever going to see
either,
that.
But if our entire view of these last 10 minutes of this episode change with that scene that follows. Like I said, if Katya pulls out her lipstick and it also says Tatiana, then okay, well then why are we mad at Alaska? It wouldn't have mattered. It a lot can change depending on that scenario.
Yeah, I might hold my tongue a little bit until we find out what Katya did. And I don't think on her total Rue call this week, I don't think she said who she would have eliminated. So we won't find out until next week. But if it did, if Katya said she would eliminate Tatiana, then I'm almost sort of mad at the show instead of mad at Alaska for, again, not only like providing this format, but for doing it in a way that makes the queens have to give faux rationale for doing things, being fearful that, you know, if I stab someone, I'm going to get called out on social media. I'm going to lose fans. I'm going to lose money because I'm not going to have as many bookings. It sucks because that is leading to not so great TV. Again, I love having these queens on my, these queens can, you know, read the phone book on my TV screen for hours at a time, and I'd still absolutely love to see them. I love these challenges. I feel like they've all been great. But it's when we get down to these actual strategic elements and the eliminations every episode that I find myself rolling my eyes just a bit.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I agree. Right. This is just, you know, Alaska is underneath the dumpster, and we'll find out how she survives in 3 weeks' time, you know.
Well, we'll see if a red, white, and blue balloon gets sent up, then we'll know that Alaska has truly survived. Do you guys have any other thoughts about this week's episode or possibly what might be coming on RuPaul's Drag Race in the next 2 weeks?
No, I mean, I've enjoyed this season. It's a little flat for me. Again, I really do. I never realized how much I really miss lip sync for your life and, you know, RuPaul deciding and it really being like who wins the lip sync and they're fighting for their literal drag life out there. I forgot how much I missed that until I saw it again last week. And RuPaul even said, oh, I've missed saying that. I'm like, bitch, we've missed hearing that. So I don't. It's been a little flat, although I'm with you, Mike. These queens can read the phone book and I'd be entertained. It, like AJ said, it's like them showing us their greatest hits. And I love all of their greatest hits, so it's fun to hear them. Although at this point, it's like 11 o'clock and the guests have stayed almost too long. So I'm almost ready for them to leave.
All right, AJ, any final thoughts on Drag Race before you leave us?
No, I just think it's like I said, it's probably 2 weeks too long. They're worn out their welcome a little bit. Let's just end it. Let's declare a champion and let's get back to you know, one of the things that we didn't discuss was Rue's little speech saying, you know, you talk about selling. I sold this show to millions of people. That's right, people. Like that's what this show is all about. This is Rue, right. And I'm missing Rue this season.
Yes, exactly. We don't get the judges table. I thought the skeet shooting thing was hilarious. Like, how do they come up with this stuff? Like, the judges and I will be skeet shooting. And Katya's like, I don't know what that is. Like, but we don't. Like, that was funny, but we don't get the judges' comments. We don't get them, like, yes, throwing shade and cracking jokes about the queens behind the scenes. That's the best part to me. You know, Rue is, like AJ said correctly, surmise, like, look, I have sold submersive drag to 100 mother effers out there, and I know what I'm doing when it comes to branding this shit. And I'm like, yes, you do, queen. Yes, you do. But we haven't seen enough of Rue this season to we want more. I like that's what fills me with happiness and joy is when I hear RuPaul talking about Drag Race.
Yeah, I think the issue is that with new queens, I think Rue serves as an inspiration to them. And so I think you get a lot more moments. That's what the Tic Tac lunch is for, right? It's for Rue to sit down with contestants and really talk through what their personal history is and how Rue possibly relates. It's tough when you bring in returning contestants because that relationship is already sort of there. And so you're not really building on it. And so that sort of character building is almost taken out of the show. I agree. For it being RuPaul's Drag Race, we have seen very little of RuPaul so far. And maybe it's because she is not the one that's really making the decisions at the end of the day. The weight is much more on the queens. But AJ gave the, gave sort of the analogy that I guess we're in extra innings, but I'm hopeful that the season will knock it out of the park rather than strike out. AJ, thank you so much for being on this podcast. I knew when you said you were a big Drag Race fan, we had to have you on at some point, and I'm so happy you came on to talk wise about your thoughts on this show overall. We were happy to have you.
Oh, it was my pleasure to join you guys, and I will be continuing to listen to hear your points of view as we head down the home stretch. Please, please, let's head down the home stretch towards the inevitable Katya victory.
Yes, from your mouth to Michelle Visage in the cloud's ears. All right, so you guys can also listen to us every week, but by a very easy way, by subscribing to our feed on iTunes, and not just the reality TV or Hap-Ups only feed. If you search for RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2, or my name, or Brent's name, or Ali Lasher's name, you'll find the feed in there where you can rate, review, subscribe. Please give us a 5-star review. We would absolutely love it. We have a 5-star review here from CC899721 that says, great RHAP edition. Brent, this one's calling you out. It says, Brent is great as always, entertaining and insightful. Great team. Very good rehab up edition. So some nice stuff being given to Brent. The crisis control is clearly working, but not too well, since it does allow for your fantastic rants. But yes, please subscribe. Also, please subscribe to the Reality TV Rehap Ups feed. This way you get coverage of the Reality TV Rehappy Hour. You get coverage of Australian Survivor as well. A lot of stuff going on. And as always, if you want to talk to us, you can talk to us through the great device that is Twitter. AJ is at AJ Mass. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. AJ, do you have anything in the hopper coming up in the coming weeks, and podcast wise?
Yeah, I'm going to be on with Josh Wigler to talk about the first episode of Westworld coming up. Joe Garfine is going to be doing that podcast with him on the regular, but she is on vacation, so I'll be filling in for her, talk about that, and also be guesting with the Wiggle Man and Antonio Mazzaro, talking Mr. Robot as well in the very near future, and my thoughts on the second season.
Awesome. Yeah, AJ, I know you were a recent convert into Mr. Robot. And so I'm assuming, will you be able to, for us, at least drop a mention of Detox in the aforementioned robot outfit into the conversation?
I cannot promise, but I will try.
I don't even need to cover a show called Mr. Robot because I work with one every day. His name is Taryn Armstrong.
Speaking of which, Brent, I know Big Brother Over the Top has just started up, and I know you guys are diving into coverage right now there on both Rob Has a Website and the Reality TV Happy Hour.
Exactly. And by the way, people, that's what's called shade. I'm not actually being mean to Taryn. It's
you're drinking
shade
out of your tea,
Taryn.
Cozy.
Exactly. I got my teacup. Exactly. Tea with Tati. Exactly. So, Big Brother Over the Top looks very fun. The fans know, I've been a little ambivalent about covering it, mainly because, you know, I did Big Brother Canada, did Big Brother US, and now here's Big Brother Over the Top. It's like it takes up my entire year. However, I saw I won't say the results of the first HOH, but the first HOH challenge looks very fun and very like early season one, season two kind of thing. And it looks like something that I could get into. So I'm going to give it a try and see how I like it. And I encourage you guys to do the same thing.
It's like a zombie theme, very similar to the season 4 End of the World Challenge. So it's all synergy here on Reality TV Spear. You can always follow me at a Mike Bloom type. I just started covering Once Upon a Time with Kurt Clark on Reality TV. Not Reality TV, Rehab Ups. Post-show recaps. I get my satellites of the Rob Has a Podcast Network confused.
It's an empire, Mike. It's an empire. You've got to keep them straight.
Exactly.
This
keep
is not Rob Has a Best Friend Podcast.
Absolutely. To finish things off, guys, we need a hashtag. Does five shadowing work in lieu of both AJ's reference to the situation that happened, and of course the dearth of or the wealth of season 5 contestants that ended up on our plates now?
Yes, I'm with you. Five shadowing it is. Hashtag choice five shadowing. Face.
So leave that as a hashtag if you made choices it all the way through to the end of the podcast. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. We'd love to hear your feedback, your thoughts about the outcome, about the commercials, what you think might be happening moving forward. Maybe answer Brent's big question of why are they editing Alaska the way she is. We'll hopefully get that filled in a little bit next week as a family visit comes to RuPaul's Drag Race and some possible alliance work we will see. AJ Mass, again, thank you so much for being here. Ali Lasher will be back with us next week. For now, hashtag five shadowing, sashay away.